Hi, Adriana.
Do I have to type? I don't have to type anything. You can hear me right out there. We're locked up with the cam and the thing there. Okay. So, man, there we go. So, how's life at the school, Adriana? Of course, we're being taped here on the video, but that's okay. Sound is good. Good. So-so, huh? Well, yeah. I know what you mean. School cannot be all good. School is school. Plus all the junk they have to put at you. Okay. Well, write me sometime and tell me about it if you want. Tell your dad to write to me. Call me sometime. Gotta hear from you, Brian. Okay, here we go. Part two. Finally got started here. Finally got started. Cheerful night we have here. We are going through a critique. I'm critiquing a critique. That's what I'm doing. And I've got the notes online. I think some of you probably found. I don't like how the notes are designed, though. They look confusing. So I got to redesign that later. But for now, it's all up there. But I don't even have it all prepared for sermonating yet. Just barely get up to part two here tonight. So we have here part two. David Cloud is against hyper-dispensationalism. All these excuses he gives us are bogus because he's got some key words in there that aren't true. And I'm just kind of critiquing the whole thing because this is where I think a lot of people get their material from. I know his material and his stuff. And people don't sit down and argue with their Bible. It's like it's, the war is between David Cloud and Ruckman, for example, or Hiles and Robertson, or all these guys. It's like that's the war. No, it's not the war at all. It's a scripture war. And the way he puts this thing, I can't believe that he doesn't see it himself. So, but he's not a King James guy. He's a King James user. He's kind of a Greek guy, a real strong Greek guy, actually. So we made it as far as the next point David Cloud says, if you got the notes, I don't know, we'll see here. Next quote he says here is, while we can see an obvious transition, okay, one of the things we notice when Cloud's writing his stuff here is they recognize what we're saying. They recognize that there's a difference between this and that, what Paul teaches in the book of Acts. Oh, they recognize that difference. They just won't go to the point where they say there's a sharp difference. So what they do is they teach in their Bible institutes the way to rightly divide by verses instead of by book. It isn't just Paul. It's verses that pertain to the church age, and it's verses that don't, based on doctrine. And you can't do it that way. Because otherwise you're mushed. Remember, rightly dividing is you divide something. You don't mush it, you divide it. And there's a division there. And we know that. You can't mix Paul with Peter. You can't mix Paul with James. You can't mix Paul with Jude. You can't mix Paul with early Acts. You can't do that. So here's what he says on the next point. This is where you're at here. In your Bibles, let's see where we went. Hang on just for a minute here. While we can see an obvious transition in the book of Acts, okay, see, he sees it. He sees there's a difference. And not everything in Acts continues to be in effect in the churches today. There it is, right there. He said it right there. Not everything in the book of Acts is to the church today. So what's the problem here? Well, he just can't let go of that stuff. He says, in other, you know, for example, tongue speaking and apostolic signs and gifts. Then he says, this does not mean that there are different gospels and different churches in various parts of Acts. But there are differences. By the time Paul is done, he's totally going to the Gentiles with that whole message. And he's not doing miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, there's differences all over the place. You know what it is? They won't go to 1 Corinthians 13:10 to show the difference between speaking in tongues and signs and wonders and stuff. They'll kind of decipher through the book of Acts by ignoring Paul and all this kind of stuff. All they got to do is go to 1 Corinthians 13:10. That's the King James Bible. And that knocks the tongues out. It knocks out miracles. It knocks out signs. All that stuff. Boom. Just like that. Because that's what it was done in part. Whoa. That was probably pretty loud out there. Sorry about that. So when he says that we can see an obvious transition, and not everything in Acts is in the church today, he's right. But he doesn't stop there. But it does not mean that there are any gospels that are different. And different churches. No, we're not talking about different churches. We're talking about still the church of God, the saved people, and the body of Christ. But he won't go there. He's just following opinion, I guess. I don't know how they can miss this stuff. Next thing he says here in the notes, or if you have the, how many have the notes out there? Anybody? Not that you're all going to suddenly type it in there, but you don't have to worry about it, I guess. I'm just curious. Then he says, the book of Acts is a book about and for the churches. Well, you know, that's true. The whole Bible is for us today. The whole Bible is for the churches. But that isn't what he's talking about. These guys can't get this thing about two and four together yet. Let me do it one more time for anybody that needs an illustration for somebody. You're living in an apartment house, or you're living in your house, you got 15 families in your house. You go out to the mailbox and you get everybody's mail. And you take all everybody's mail up to your room and you cut it open, you look at everybody's mail. And you get upset because you got thousands of dollars worth of bills. You've got yourself paying for stuff that you wouldn't even order, some crummy stuff in there. And then somebody comes in, you're ready to pull your hair out, and all of a sudden somebody comes in and says, oh, you dummy, that isn't your mail. Here's two letters from you, for you, that are written to you. That's your mail. Now, this other mail is all to somebody else. Yet, as he read through that mail, he learned something about all these other people. So, yeah, even though it wasn't his mail, it was there for him to learn. The only thing he had to pay was his own two little letters, because that's the only thing addressed to him. That's the difference between two and four. That whole Bible is for us today, Genesis to Revelation. But that whole Bible is not to us. The only part that's to us is Paul's gospel, Paul's epistles, as to the Gentiles. Anything past Paul is tribulation, written to the Jews in the tribulation. Anything before Paul was to the Jews before Paul came along, and the risen Savior went up and went to the Gentiles. The Jews had their chance to go to the world, and it fizzled in due time. So the part that's to you is Paul. They can't get this thing. He says the book of Acts is a book about and for the churches. Yes, it is about the churches. Sure it is, and the church. And it's for the church. It's for everybody there. But it's not written to us. Philippians 4:9, Paul says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul's the man to get us to the God of peace. Peter isn't. James isn't. Peter isn't in before Paul. Galatians chapter 2. You ought to have this verse marked in your Bible. Look up Galatians chapter 2. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. What do you need? What else do you need for scripture proof? For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, that's the Jew, the same was might in me toward the Gentiles. Okay, that verse is a killer verse. It works fine. Peter and Paul have different gospels, different apostleship even. I don't know why they missed this stuff, but anyway. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2 here. Acts chapter 2. Here's what he says now. The pattern of the first church as described in Acts chapter 2 is the pattern for the churches throughout the age. Okay, who says that? Who says so? That church in Acts chapter 2 has nothing to do with Paul. Nothing. Zero, zilch. That's all after Peter in verse 38. That's the early church, okay? So it's fine. That's the early church. That's fine. But that's not the church. That's not the pattern for the church today. Is it a different church? No, it's the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the body of Christ. But that body of Christ, together in a local assembly, has a different design, a different purpose, different worship. The whole thing is totally different. And you only get that through Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. So when he says that the early church is the pattern for the churches throughout the age, then he says this. Listen to this. Except for the temporary and unique aspects pertaining to the coming of the Holy Spirit and the apostolic miracles. Oh, okay. So see, here's this early church, except some of those things aren't written to us today. You know what I'm saying? I mean, these guys are just mushing through this whole mess. All you got to do is divide the thing up. That's the early church in the Great Commission days, which was followed by signs and wonders and the whole spiel, and it was out to reach to the lost people. Paul's church, the body of Christ today through the Gentiles, was a place for saved people to be edified and taught in the work of the ministry, Ephesians chapter 4. No signs, no miracles, nothing. Not because of some doctrinal ribber-jabby, because you can take a King James Bible and you can show people should be doing speaking in tongues. Just you don't, it's got to be wrongly divided, if divided at all. So they're going to their expertness, expertise, there we go, their expertise, and their colleges and the institutes you go to, depending upon how you teach rightly dividing. No, the Bible itself teaches us how to rightly divide, and that's by going to Paul. Period. Divide. Peter, well, that way, and none of these other guys, it's all separate. So, it's just frustrating. He sees the stuff, but he doesn't want to make that, he just don't want to make that division. Why? Well, lots of reasons why. We've been over that. It's about the walk. It takes all the, anything, a glory out of a human, because, out of a person, because God provided it all. God gives us all these spiritual blessings. God doesn't impute the sin on us. No more guilt trips on people other than to maintain their testimony and stuff like that. So, yeah, a pastor can't scare his people to death by going through Paul. So, other than that, I think Paul's got the greatest message you'll ever read about anything. And because people, make God like us down here on the earth, then they can't understand why God would do that. Well, let's not understand it. Let's just believe what the Bible says and accept it. And then in reasonable service, let's start putting our clothes back on and quit acting like idiots and children and do the right thing the best we can, knowing that the flesh still has sin in us, but we're separated from it, all this kind of stuff. We're not going to be the perfect little creatures. But once you get a testimony stated, you do your best to follow through because it causes people to stumble, blah, blah. There's all that other stuff involved. Whole different ministry, whole different preaching when you preach Paul's epistles. And it isn't just grace. There's works, not to maintain, not to keep your man's salvation or get your salvation, but to be the Christian. Reasonable service, all that sort of thing. So, anyway. So, no, it is not the pattern for all the churches today. But I'll tell you what, I know churches that are following that pattern. They're King James, supposedly Bible-believing, supposedly rightly dividing, supposedly churches, and they're doing the mentality and the philosophy of trying to reach the lost people out in this world, and that is not the church's ministry today. Just read what Paul has to say about it. That's our job as a person, to reach the lost. You get them saved, you bring them to the church. If they're interested to get saved, they can come to the church, no problem. I'm not saying they can't come. But to gear your church, to win that community over, that's Acts chapter 2, verse 47, and Paul doesn't tell us to do that at all. A church is supposed to be full of believers hearing about Paul and growing. Paul is our builder, the master, wise master builder, right? Right. Anyway, let's keep going here. How are we doing up there? Sounds okay still? Okay. Here we go. Clarity Dave says this. The mysteries given to Paul are a different revelation from that given to Peter and the other apostles, and only Paul's writings are directed for the church today. Remember, this is a characteristic he says about the hyperdispensation people. So, yeah, the mysteries that are a different revelation from that given to Peter and other apostles, and only Paul's writings are directed for the church today. Well, that's true. And I just don't see why he doesn't see that. I just don't get that. The other epistles, such as Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, the epistles of John, are not for us today. See, there he doesn't understand that word for. Yes, those books are for us. We can learn about the tribulation. We can learn how things are going to be, blah, 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 blah. But no, they're for us or they're for us. But they're not to us. 1st John chapter 3 is a fantastic chapter to ask people. So have you ever sinned today? Yes. Well, then you're not born of God. That's what it says. So how can you explain that that's written for us, the way they define for? Well, it's for us to learn about. That's the way it'll be. But it isn't to us. That's the kicker. They don't get this two and four thing. So there's that comment. And yet David Cloud says, yet Paul himself said that the church is built upon the apostles, plural, and not merely upon himself, Ephesians chapter 2:20. Okay, let's look it up. Ephesians 2:20. Ephesians 2:20. He says that. Now, that's not a problem. Ephesians 2:20. And it says here, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Okay, fine. You think that's telling us that we're still supposed to follow the apostles today? No, it says it was built upon the foundation of the apostles. The apostle foundation, apostolic foundation, is in Acts 1-8. And what the apostles learned from Jesus in the Gospels. Not a problem. But have they forgotten who Paul is? I said it a minute ago. Paul is the wise master builder. So we get the foundation from Christ. The apostles laid a foundation for a church. Sure, not a problem. But they trashed it when they dropped the Great Commission ball, and Christ risen went on to Paul to the Gentiles. Now we have a church, it's his body, designed for the bride, for the Gentiles. And Paul is the master builder. We're not going to park on, you go back to the apostolic doctrine, you go back to the Gospels, you're going back to the beginning, and God is not going to honor those scriptures to you in your life at all. Power and prayer, give it all Sunday, all that kind of stuff. That's the folly of today's modern Christianity. Don't forget, you go back to the apostles, and you go back to Jesus Christ, Jesus in the Gospels, you've got to also go back to speaking in tongues, miracles, signs, healings, playing with snakes, drinking poison, the whole spiel. Signs. Jewish. Anyway. Then he says, and the mysteries were revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets, Ephesians 3:5. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 3:5. Which in other ages, this mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, not a problem, that the Gentiles should be the fellow heirs under the same body. Okay, not a problem. But they better go back to verse 2 and verse 3, because it was all given to Paul to take on to these people. Those guys weren't given the stuff too. It says right there in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. We have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. Yeah, those apostles and prophets, they heard about it from Paul. You read about it in the book of Acts, different people he talked to. They just don't want to get it. They're so close, yet they're so far away. Okay. He says this here. This is David Cloud again. Yes, you are. Peter said Paul wrote to the same, let's see here. Peter also referred to the writings of Paul and made no distinction between Paul's teaching and the teaching of the other apostles. Now, and they quote 2 Peter chapter, let's look it up, 2 Peter chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now, why is that so important? Because he's writing to Jews. They did hear that stuff. It wasn't from Paul. It was from the Jews. It was from the apostles. Because this is Jewish stuff. Oh, it just throws me. Look at verse 15 and 16, he says. Okay, look up at verse 15 and verse 16. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. That'd be the book of Hebrews. Paul did write one book to the Jews. Unto you. This is all Jewish stuff. What were the verses here, 15 and 16? As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, of which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Other scriptures. They didn't understand some of the things Paul was teaching. Why not? Because it wasn't taught to them. This is tribulation. And it's hard to understand, hard for them to understand it. Is this amazing? I mean, are we seeing these things? There is a distinction. Okay, David Cloud said, Bob, you're leaving? Good night, Bob. Nice to hear from you. Or see you anyway. Let's see your name. So here's another thing David Cloud says. Peter and Paul wrote to the same people and preached the same message. That's a lie. That is not true. That is totally not true. Whip out the books, 1st, 2nd Peter. Read those things. That's things written to the Jews over and over and over and over and over again. You go back to Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized. That's baloney. And Paul, it even says, remember that thing in Galatians. It says apostleship to the circumcision, apostleship to the uncircumcision. Uncircumcision had the glorious gospel that the risen Savior gave to Paul to preach to people, and Peter had to repent and be baptized. Totally different. I don't know why they say such stupid things. And I guess here's why I'm so concerned about this. Everybody out there, whether they've already been in a Peter church or an Old Testament church, which is all the denominations, our guys, our King James guys, are going back to the early church. They're going back to the Great Commission. They're going back to Peter. They're going to 1st and 2nd Peter for their guilt trips on the marriages and the people. They're going back to Hebrews to get the pressure from the people to respond to the pastors, because they have to, that kind of stuff. They're going back to the gospel so they can get people to do what Jesus did. In other words, imitate Jesus without saying the word imitate. All this is a setup for the Antichrist, for this world religion to catch into this thing. World religion isn't going to be Hindu or anything. It's going to be Christianity based on this modern Christian stuff. Even the Catholic's not going to make it a sin. They're really messing things up here lately. So this is this whole ecumenical thing that's going to come around. And it's going to be based on Jesus' teachings in the gospel and early Acts and Hebrews and stuff, which already is happening in the churches. So anyway, here's another phrase. Now listen to him talk about this. Though we know, there it is, see, he admits it. Though we know that Paul was the special apostle of the Gentiles, oh, so we do know that. Okay, well, good. And he was given unique revelations about the church as the body of Christ. Oh, you do see it. His revelations in no way contradict the revelations given in the general epistles, Hebrews to Jude. I can't believe a man who supposedly studied his Bible as much as he has, or these people out there, do not see the differences in Hebrews to Jude. We did them this morning, right? Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 13. Lose your salvation, never get it back. Follow your pastor, obey your pastor. What were some other ones? We did some other things in there. There's no way that these things match what Paul preached. No way. You cannot be serious. You know what it is? They have not read their Bible from Genesis to Revelation. If they did, they read 10 pages a day and got their time in, marked it off on a chart, and then went back and watched TV or moved your football game or washed clothes or something. Because you cannot read from Genesis to Revelation and not pick up what you're going to pick up if you're paying attention. Unless, of course, the devil blinded you through your works and your world and your love of money and all this kind of stuff. There's ways to keep you from it. Devil doesn't want you to get it. I got a brother who translated his Bible, his English King James Bible, into a German Bible. I said, why'd you do that? Martin Luther already did that. He wanted to do it to see what it would be like. I said, well, maybe he'll see something there. You know, he never saw it. That's because they're blinded. Lost people are blinded. I can't even talk to him about what are some of the verses in German. What do you think that means? He won't talk to me. This isn't the way God operates. Okay, let's do another one here. How are we doing? We got a late start, though, didn't we? Okay. Here we go. Are you picking up the fact that this guy says the truth, but he doesn't believe it as the truth, so he tries to disprove it? Does that make any sense to you? Okay. Just checking. Here we go. Cloudy Dave says, the gospel preached by Peter in the early part of the book of Acts is different from the gospel preached by Paul. That's what he says the hypers teach. Okay? Well, that's right. You know, the gospel preached by Peter in the early part of the book of Acts is different than what Paul preached. You betcha it is. And he goes on, he cites 1 Peter 1:3, salvation by God's free mercy. 1 Peter 1:2, the blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:3, eternal security in 1 Peter chapter 1. The new birth, he talks about. See, there's your first problem. Paul never preaches about the new birth. He preaches about being quickened, made alive. He doesn't use that born again stuff. That's for the Jews, to the Jews. So, He says there's actually no difference between the gospel preached by Peter and that which Paul preached. I don't know what else to say other than read your Bible. When I first got into this stuff, I started writing sermons. I would look up, what is this stuff down here? My cords are such a hassle here. I looked at the verses that talked about a certain subject in Paul's books. Then I looked at those verses in the Gospels. Then I looked at those the same subject in the Gospels. And then I looked at the same subject in Hebrews to Jude. Every time there was a difference. That was when I started to realize Paul needs to be preached. These others we can learn from, but it's not written to us. There's major differences from what Paul preaches and teaches to Gospels, Acts, early Acts, and Hebrews to Jude. So why he says that, and why people tell you this, because somebody else told them that. They've never checked that out, because if you check it out, you'll see that that's the way it is. I imagine Claudia Dave probably heard that from somebody else, too. You know? Oh, well. He says, Acts 15 plainly states that all of the apostles, including Peter and Paul, agreed on the gospel. Paul plainly said in 1 Corinthians 15, 11-14, that they all preached the same gospel. He does? Let's check it out. 1 Corinthians 15. Okay. Now, if Christ be preached, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? That if there be no resurrection of the dead, is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain? And your faith is also vain? So what does that got to do with Peter and Paul agreeing on the gospel, preaching the same thing? That doesn't make sense. They preached that he rose from the dead, sure. Peter preached that. So did Paul. But Paul has a message from the risen Savior where Peter doesn't. See what they put on this stuff? They just take a verse out of context, or they take a verse and they stop it right there and make it say what... I see this is happening all over this stuff with Paul. So, crazy stuff. Peter preached the blood of Christ, he says. Salvation through the blood of Christ. Salvation by God's free mercy, the new birth, eternal security because of the resurrection of Christ. Yes, but Peter also taught that if you don't stay with it, you're done. So where he comes up with this eternal security is beyond me, because Peter doesn't preach an eternal security. Not to the Jews. Not in the tribulation. They don't even get the grace until they're dead. Till Christ comes back, do they get their grace. Anyway, how are we doing here? Oh, let's see here. Even in Acts 2, he says, Peter was preaching the gospel of the grace of Christ rather than a kingdom gospel. He preached Christ, his crucifixion, Acts 2:23, resurrection, Acts 2:24, and the Lordship, there's a tough one, Acts 2, verse 33. So you see, if you're going to get this Lordship salvation stuff that's a real big thing in this country, you got to go to Acts 2. And I just say, proves my point. He preached that the people should repent. Well, so did Paul, but it was works made for repentance. It wasn't repent and get saved. It was because you're saved. Now let's repent and let's change our life. Totally different.
He preached that the people should repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Well, Paul didn't preach that. That's Peter. This is not a kingdom gospel. Further, Paul states in Galatians 1 that anyone who preached a different gospel was cursed. So if Peter were truly preaching a different gospel, he would have fallen under his curse. Well, that makes sense, except for one thing. Peter's preaching to the Jews. And I still have some doubts and concerns about God's people today, the Jews. I really do. Paul wrote that book of Hebrews. I believe it was Paul. I believe that. And he wrote it to the Jews, and it's different doctrine. Why is that?
God expects more out of his Jewish people than he did from us. Remember, what was our purpose? It's to show those Jews what they blew, what they had, make them jealous of us. That's all it was. And we got this thing floating around. Everybody thinks that, well, God loves me, so he got me saved or whatever. No, that's not true. God, for God so loved the world, that gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe. See, gave, past tense. I don't know. I guess nobody can see the cam. I'm making all these facial gestures to the can. Nobody sees or paying attention or whatever. Yeah. Then he says this thing about Peter, which if he were truly preaching, he'd been a fallen of this curse. Yeah, but he wasn't preaching to the Gentiles. What do we have today? A church built on Peter. What's it underneath? It's underneath a curse. So what Peter taught was cursed. It turned into a cursed religion today. Not because what he was teaching was wrong, it was taught to the Jews. And remember how this whole thing comes about. You've got the way this Bible would have been written without Paul and the Gentiles in there, would have been Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts 1 through 8, 9. They would have accepted Stephen, then would have gone right into the tribulation of Hebrews because he would have come back. And Hebrews, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude. That's how that would be. So what Peter was preaching and teaching was ready for the Jews. Boom, in comes Paul, drops like a bomb right in the middle of that thing and spreads it apart. So the writings of Peter are to the tribulation. The writings of Peter of Jesus locally are right here before. In the meantime, we're in Paul's time. Does that make sense? I'm pointing this out like anybody's watching. Sorry. You out there in the web, you ought to get a webcam except you give money to Pal Talk when you do that. So anyway, I think from here on out it's going to be the same thing, pretty much the same thing. He's got little words in here that shows that, yeah, even though we see that Paul does this, it still doesn't mean that, oh, you guys are going to justify yourself to death. If there's anything us Christians can do, we can justify why we believe what we believe and why we do what we do, why we don't do what we don't do, why we change what we're changing into or changing back. We can justify everything we do. That's just an amazing thing. Same thing with these guys. They can justify why not to follow Paul, but it doesn't carry any water when you put it up to Scriptures. And if you're trying to change something to please God, that fits the Scriptures. If you're trying to go backwards, that's not scriptural. We're supposed to go forward from last year. You should not be dressing worse, talking worse, going back to activities, fairs, and truck rate, all that kind of stuff that you stopped doing for a little while. You shouldn't be going back to them ever. Yeah, but there's nothing else to do. My kids are grown up. They're teenagers. They have to do something. Whatever. Such lousy parenting these days. Let's do one more because I'm not going to get into the details of this one. Cloudy Dave says, baptism and the Lord's Supper, this is what he says a hyper does. Baptism and the Lord's Supper were given to Paul before he received the church aid mysteries. Thus, they are not for the churches today. There it is that he doesn't understand the word for yet. They're not to the churches today. They're for us. So we learn about them. That was what had to be done. But they're not to us. They say this. He says this. Hyper-dispensationalists differ on this point. Some accept both baptism and the Lord's Supper. Some reject water baptism and the Lord's Supper. I don't know if you remember my sermon on the Lord's Supper. But I got a bunch of stuff in that thing. Why do we use little shot glasses? Why do we have to make this such a formal little thing? Why does everybody do it their own way? Some people do it every week. Some people don't do it except once a year. Some do it whenever. Why such confusion? And every denomination out there, almost every religion out there, does some form of a communicable thing. There's a word for you. Even Acts chapter 2 tells us to do it. Let's get together. Well, all of us have differences, and let's forget the differences, and let's get together, and let's have a little wine and a little bread and maybe a little chocolate and all this kind of stuff and, you know, all the kind of stuff. It's baloney. I got a sermon on the points of why not a baptism, why not water, why not Lord's Supper, and we're never told to do that. So if you want to get that thing, go ahead. But there's sure a lot of confusion about that stuff, all based on school institute studies on why we should do what we should be doing. Well, I think we'll stop there just because I want to get some more notes under this. And we'll talk about Stauffer's book here pretty soon. He goes after Stauffer, Doug Stauffer. And unfortunately, Doug Stauffer threw something into that really, really messed up the deal. You know, we've only got one book we need to read, and that's the King James Bible. You don't need to buy all these books. to write and divide that thing, and you can put those authors to shame. So there you go. There it is for tonight. It's amazing stuff, isn't it, this, Paul, how these guys try to justify not following Paul, even though they recognize the differences? Ah, it's amazing. So we'll see you folks on Wednesday night. And hang in there, Adriana. Good night, Peter. I got your email. Appreciate it. And it's tough, isn't it? It's getting tough. Hi, Michael. Okay, good night, folks. Good night, patience. Good night, Marcia, if you were there. Brother Bill, Floyd. Good to see Floyd's out there. I'm yelling, aren't I? Okay, White Cods, if you're still there. I don't know who One with Christ is, but you must have heard something interesting. You wouldn't have stayed. So, good night. Don't let the bed bugs bite, as they say. Click this off. There's one. Click this off. There's two.